is the nishmas of Mordechai Asher, Bein Vavazvi Lakoi. The Piskei Rav Vosner, Shmuel Vosner Alevi, Shevet Alevi. It's an interesting name, Shevet Alevi. There's a person that very much embodied the name Shevet Alevi. Shevet Levi. What was Shevet Levi? Chazal tell us that Shevet Levi is the Shevet whose sole tachlis and purpose is targeted to be the Oyvei Hashem. They're the dugma. They're the dugma of Klal Yisrael, the ones that are supposed to be very, very oisik in Yemen Velayla, Avodas Hashem, Avodas Klal, whether it was Avodas Hashem in the Etzim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Beis HaMikdash Alein, or if it was the Avodas Hashem of being Madrich Da'am, simply telling the Am how to get to the Yer Miklat if necessary. Being the Noisei Ba'ol Chavera, helping out the Yidin that are Tzibrochon Yidin, Yidin in the Arei Miklat themselves. And that's about them without any suffix. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, was very much embodied that name, the name Shevet HaLevi. He was the one that for the last 60 years, it's hard to think if there's maybe five people that were more influential than the Shmuel Vosner in the last 60 years. This is a person that was signed on the Prusbol of the Chzayim Ish 60 years ago. 60 years ago, the Chzayim Ish, talking about the Yid that at the time was 40 years old, and the Chazon Ish considered him the Dayan Mumche. A person that spanned all these last two doyers to come all the way to Ardor, a person whose name we mentioned in the Shiurim this week countless times, his name every night. We met Shevet HaLevi Azeh, we said Shevet HaLevi by contact, we said Shevet HaLevi by the baby wipes, we said the Shevet HaLevi says you make a bracha on ice cream, and every time we hear the name Shevet HaLevi, you know in Halacha that when you're dealing with a list of names, we say this one helped Azeh, but the Shevet HaLevi helped Azeh, that's already a heavyweight. Shevet HaLevi is a heavyweight in Halacha. It's a Roy Lachria. Somebody that when we hear that name, it's the Shevet HaLevi held like that. Shevet HaLevi. The emphasis is that there's no Shaila that the biggest tribute to the Shevet HaLevi is to say over his Pesachim. But first let's understand a little bit who was the Shevet HaLevi. The Shevet HaLevi, Chazal tell us, Shevet HaLevi was not Nishtabit, they weren't in the Shevet in Mitzrayim. The reason they weren't in the Shevet in Mitzrayim is simply because they were makabal on themselves a different shiva. They makabal on themselves the old Torah. Because I'll tell us that a person that's makabal al atzmai old Torah, the mavin mimenu old their hearts. So to a certain extent, that the gehat the oil, he had an oil. So if you have this oil, then you don't have to have a different oil. So the oil, the Shevet HaLevi had. The Shevet HaLevi certainly took that oil from a very young age. It's a dua that the Shevet HaLevi, he went to Lublin, went to take a faher at Lublin when he was a young bachar of 13 years old. Now there were lots of gedolim and tzaddikim and dayres hakoyim that went at very young ages to yeshivas. I think everyone knows Rabbi Yankiv Zichron Levracha went at the age of 14 to Slobodka. Rav Aaron went at the age of 13 to Slobodka. It's a dua that maybe when they got there, it was a little bit of a different experience than what the Shevet HaLevi experienced. Rav Aaron came to Slobodka. Rav Aaron walked into Slobodka the first time, and all of a sudden someone clapped on the bima. Rav Aaron was the Eloi from the place that it said, all of a sudden someone clapped on the bima. And asks the Shaila, a Bacher. And everyone crowds around and starts listening to the Shaila. So Rav Aaron asked, what's this all about? So they said, the Alta has a Takana, anybody who has a good Shaila is allowed to clap on the Bima and ask the Shaila, there's got to be a good Shaila. And then the whole thing tumbles in the Shaila. So 1 minute later, Rav Aaron, Zichron Levracha, clapped on the Bima. It's the 13-year-old boy clapped on the Bima. They couldn't see him though, because he was this tall. So he climbed up on the Shtender and he started to scream out the Shaila. Whole place, Medrash is in the Balta, the Shaila from Rav Aaron. But after that, a minute later, Rav Aaron Nachamol clapped on the Bima. Nachamol climbs on the Shtender and asks the Shaila a different Shaila. 1 minute later, the Alta clapped on the Alta came over and said, Batal Takana, the Shaila is going to ruin Slobodka. So sometimes the 13-year-olds, they come to Yeshiva, so we know the Shevet HaLevi didn't have it so easy. When he came to take a Faher in Yeshiva's Chachmi Lublin, he wasn't accepted. Young Viennese Bacher that came from Vienna wasn't accepted, and so he went back to the train station to get the train to Warsaw. And there he was. What are you going to do in the train station in Lublin? What are you going to do there? So there he was, and he sat there. The next train was 6 hours away, and he sat and learned about Smother Rabba for the next 6 hours. Little did he know that there was somebody in the corner who was watching him with a tremendous spyless. A person sitting there, Bacher, a young Bacher, 13-year-old, watching this very interesting train station, it's a very interesting Zach, and Pashad, his head didn't lift out of the Gemara for 6 straight hours. So afterward, the Seed went over to him, and he said to him, what brings you, Sabini's Bacher, what brings you to Lublin? So he says that he tried to get into yeshiva and he was too young and he was told maybe to try a different time or whatnot. So he says, Peseder, you come with me, I have protexia there. So he said, no, they told me already that it's not for me and I'll come back. He says, no, you come with me, you'll be my guest in Lublin. And when he walked back in with Rav Meir Shapiro, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva's Chacham Lublin, so then he started to understand when everybody stood up for the Rosh Yeshiva, that was the protexia. This is the Rav Meir Shapiro that said that this is the person who's one day going to leave Klal Yisrael. He said about Rav Shmuel Vosner after he left. This is Rav Shmuel Vosner that the smother, not the kishrin, that got him to where he was. The tremendous smother, Zayid, that when he was at Bachar in Lublin, for 3 years, never left the building. After 3 years, when he left the building for the first time, he said to the Bachrim as they walked out to go home, wherever they went, he said, hey look, they opened up over there, it's a kiosk, a makolat. They opened up, it was a certain, like it was a store, a little bit. So they looked at him like a Meshigganim. They opened it up a year and a half ago. Yeah, but he hadn't left the building in a year and a half, 3 years, he hasn't left the building. So he didn't know that they opened it. That was that smother. Today, I was reading countless tshuvas. I was reading and reading and reading and tshuvas. I cannot tell you how many tshuvas he writes that I'm not with my svarim now. I just can't. It's unbelievable. It seems to be that's when he wrote his tshuvas. He writes, I can't even admit, I must have at least today I saw maybe 300 or 400 tshuvas like that. At least. That's today. And I didn't see all the tshuvas. And at least 300, 400 tshuvas that he writes. I'm on vacation and I don't have my svarim with me. That's what he did on vacation. And then he goes on to write with the half the dig of the keys to be showing him and achrayim him and this, but you should know it, he writes at the end, but I'm being mekatzer because I'm out with my svarim. So that's the Shevet HaLevi. I'm mekabel alat, like Shevet HaLevi, he was mekabel alat, the oil of Torah. And the man was meant to make the oil derech eretz. The Shevet Levi is yadua also. The Meridik Achayis of being Oyvid in Beis HaMikdash, that Meridik Achayis of being the ones that stand for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, they're the ones that stand for the dogma. Shevet HaLevi himself was known as a tremendous Makabel from the previous Doris, from the Rebbeinu. Loi Mivai, his Rebbe, is Gaisi Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, Loi Mivai, but it's Yadua that he took from all the different, he was a Chassidisha. But on the other hand, he at the same time had a tremendous shimush from the Chazan Ish. That the Chazan Ish, when he was nifter, they asked him, so where did the shaylas go now? The rabbi said, just be retired to yourself 60 years ago. It was 40 years old, Ben Arbayim. And he said, from now on, the shaylas, they go to Vosna. Vosna says, retire such a thing. It's hard to be massive. Imagine that Yashu, before he was nifter, says, the shaylas go to Epis, a Ungaman, a 40-year-old Ungaman. It's something that's hard to be retired. Shach Sechrem Levrach, I heard from somebody once, he asked Shach a certain child in Halacha. Yes, the child. So Shach said to him, if my the child is the Halacha, as I say, I'm going to Avosna. Go to Avosna, about 30 years or 40 years. So go to Avosna. So he said, Avosna, Shiva can't pass in Halacha. Shiva can't pass in Halacha. So he said, look, yeah, you know, them says that Shach, it's Yadua, he was in the Ezra's Noshim, in the First World War. He was sat there and learned that some other rabbin in Ezra's Noshim for 3 years. They say that Ezra's Noshim, he chazered just 20 times. They say about Rosh Hashanah, he was a young Bacher at the time, he chazered just 20 times in Ezra's Noshim those 3 years. And he said, yeah, the demis is at the end, the last 3 months, he heard he was going to get a certain shtela. He was going to get, after the war was already ending, he was going to get a shtela, but he had to go and learn Shulchan Aruch. So those 3 months I took off and I learned the whole Shulchan Aruch. Shach said to this person, said, but I don't chazer. But Vosner, a chazer, yede, you're a chazer. He chazers it all the time, so mainly gave Feger Vosner. That was the Gedolim in Bnei Brak, the Gedolim all over the world. They always knew, but Vosner is the place. He took from his great rebbes, the Chazayim Ish, he took the Mahalach and learning, we'll see it in some Shailas. I once heard, I was hear many times from the Shevet Levi, he used to come to Yerushalayim, we had a base medrash in he knows the neighbor then as his time, he had a neighbor, he had a Gushman in, he has a base medrash called base medrash of Shevet HaLevi. He would come on Ben Azmanim. Right? That was his Ben Azmanim. He would come sometimes Pesach. I remember one story, just to understand who the person that you're hearing, who he saw from, his Letvish Rebbetz. Said that one time he went into the room of the Chazan Ish, and he sees the Chazan Ish is lying under a cover, and his shoes are on, and his hat was on, and he's under a cover. So he thought, he's a Chedai. This is what he said. He brought him in front of everybody. He said, Zichar, he didn't know what to do. Because he saw he wasn't moving, and his hat was on, and his shoes were on. So he thought, Zichar, he's not alive. And then, all of a sudden, he sees movement. He sees that there's a little bit of movement. And then, he's watching this. He said he stood there mesmerized for 35 minutes. And every once in a while there's a movement. You couldn't imagine what was going on in there. Finally, the Chazanish took off the cover and he looked at him and said, oh, he's Mitzayer Shmuel. I said to him, Shmuel, Ben Mechila, I didn't know you were here, Bechal. How long have you been here? He says, no, he's only here for a few moments. He's only here. So he asked the Mistami, you're wondering what I'm doing. So said, yo. He said that he has a certain chiddush. Just imagine who we're talking about, who were his rebbes. He said, he had a certain chiddush, and he's been trying to get this chiddush for the last 3 weeks, and he can't concentrate. The air in the room is staring his concentration. He's not able to concentrate. He needs such rikud, such concentration. The air is shtetzach. As I said, he had to go under the cover. So Rav Ozna said, can I see the chiddush? Because he finally was able to write it. That's why every once in a while it's a movement. He took out the chiddush. Rav Ozna said, b'zeh lashon, g'deinish. I don't remember if it was epis one line or one and a half lines. I can't remember if the chiddush that the Chazanish said was one line or one and a half lines. So people that saw such people, that were zeicha to become the rebbes of the next door based on such people. He once said over in Mary the Gazach, it's in the Sheikh Dalev itself. The Chazanish has a tremendous chiddush in Hilch Shmita. The Bill talks about in Eretz Israel, they talk about this chiddush. Chazanish has a chiddush that even on a second floor, on a third floor, that if you can't even move around the flower pot. Because it's a shaila that it has a yabika to the under the ground. It's a ganze sugya. You're moving a flower pot in the inside. What's a shaila yabika? It has to go through balatas, and it has to go through air, and it's got to go through dirt and dust. But the Chazanish has a certain chumra. And the Sheva Levi writes in one place, he doesn't understand it. It's a chiddush, it does, and yet. And then he's just to see this batlas in the Maritika Hanoi. He writes in a later tshuva, he says that then he was zoicha. What was the Sheva Levi's loss? That they moved a certain flower pot in his house. They had to change a balata. So they moved the flower pot. And he sees that there was the flower pot over there that was on the house. It was wet from the underneath. It was clear that the yinik had been coming from under the ground. And he writes with such a no, Baruch Shebachar b'mishnasim shel tzadik. You see that? He thought that Chazanish was talking about B'cha, and now he sees it's mamish emes. And then I know, the Gevaldik had not to see that taka, that there's a yinik that came through the ground. The Hedeke Zayish, the Noyam Midoysav, Shevet Levi, Chazal tell us that Shevet Levi was not in the Sheba because they felt the Noyse Baal Chaveira. They felt the exact same pain. Chazal tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Shevet Levi, that they felt the pain of Shevet Levi, Shevet Klal Yisrael, that even if they weren't working, but they had the pain of Yenim. And the Tziadua Noyam Midoysav, the Midoysav of Ravazner, were legendary. I think everybody knows he was a person that was mufka from Achleikis. He wasn't somebody that Bechlal said anything about anybody else. And there was never one time somebody told me a story that he was present. This is going back 8 years. That means that 9 years. That means Shevet was about the Tishim Kvar. He was already in the 90s. And he came, he traveled to Yerushalayim. Why he traveled to Yerushalayim? Because somebody had said, shame him, something which he thought was Pergeya, somebody. So they said, shame him, that he was okay. So the person was nifka because he heard something that the Shevet Levi had said. And they came to Shalayim to be fight that person. When we got there, the person was so spoiled that the Shevet Levi came. He said, he had a pacha. The Shevet Levi, by him, there was a havamina that maybe he was pagayim somebody. This is about why he was zaycha to everything he was zaycha to. It was somebody told me a story after he was nifter. The person who was... his wife went on Erev Pesach about 3-4 years ago. His wife went on Erev, not three, maybe 5 years ago, I think. His wife went on Erev Pesach to buy jewelry for the Kavajantiv. So I went to a jewelry store, and afterward, when she came home, she told her husband that they were metapa with me very nice. They were very mitziachis to me. I also wonder if it's good for business. But they were metapa with her very nicely. So Vosner called up the store. The person who told me the story, he told me, yeah, what happened? They called up the store, it's Shmuel Vosner. So the person who answered up the phone, he said, yeah, sure, Shkoyach. So the night we died, so the Pashtis, somebody told me a myself that a Bacher came over, a young child came over to Shevet Levi, he was in the middle of learning a Tzais. He was in the middle of learning a Tzais Achleishin. And the boy came over there to ask him, Pshat, in Pashtis Vayetze, in Nakudim, Matudim, and the Nakudim, and thus, you know, so, and he answered, and he sat there answering, Nakudim, Nakudim, you know, this is,
what's the dogma of the Torah of the Shema? A person who's learning the Torah of the Shema, a person that when he's in the middle of learning a Ksais HaChayshin, when a young child comes over and you can ask him, Akutim, Atutim, Nekutim, and he answers with the same brand, the same Simcha, that's a person that learns the Torah of the Shema. So that's basically who we're talking about. And the Maisa, the Chayis, about the Chayis, but the Gehat for the door. Somebody told me a certain Maisa with the, he was involved in, they came to talk to him about the Gabi Mitzitza the Pe, which is, was a certain Indian. And there was, to make a very long story short, there was a shaila about maybe doing a test in Eretz Yisrael to check on the baby. And I got to test it. The Shevet HaLevi had a certain connection that they would be able to get him to change a certain seder that takes place in the, when the baby's born, in the medical, that they should check the baby, whatnot. It's hard to explain what it was, but to make a long story short, they explained all of the Mitzias to the Shevet HaLevi. And the Shevet HaLevi, the person that was there, told me, he said, you saw such a merdeka chayis. He said, yeah, it could be that maybe it would be a kedai thing to do these tests. But he said, no, he took their chayis and he said, no, but they shouldn't do it. You're going to start doing things like that, it's going to get people nervous. It was a merdeka bala chayis. Just as I start the tshuvas, I read you from the, just to see the merdeka chayis. In tshuva reish tali aleph, in chelik yod, right, as he's talking about over here, you have to follow the traffic laws. So of course, obviously, to follow the traffic laws, it goes without saying that you don't have to ride a shy like that to the Shevet HaLevi. But he was asking, you have to follow the traffic laws in the middle of the night. There's the red light and there's nobody around. Are you allowed to go through the red light? Okay. So listen, he writes with such a chayis, sagol ador, ubor e loshin ranban, chayovin based in the kavin adrochen. It's the responsibility of the based in the kavin adrochen. Lori miklot. This is the job of Shevet HaLevi. This is the job. This is the responsibility of the Beis Din to make sure that the things run smoothly. He writes, You can't go through a red light in the middle of the night. Even when there's no car near, but look what he writes. The next line is what's echoed by me. Tehiris ha-seder maybe le-de-sakana. When there's no seder, that's when there's going to be problems. There has to be rules. If there's rules, there won't be problems. And he writes, kayadua. It's merdeka bala chayis. So let's try, Bez Hashem, to be minded yeshiva al-kivroi. I like Yushalmi and Shmita says, Yushalmi and Shmita, it's also Gemara. Yevamis and Sadi Zayin, that the stoys of Doivivis Bekever, his mouth will speak to us from the Kever. How does his mouth speak to us from the Kever? What we say over his Pesachim? Is there another battery maybe? Now, the Maisa, it's hard for me to explain in what Seder I went today when I was deciding which troopers to talk about. Some of them were either things that I was asking myself to ask him, or some of them just bring out this Meritika Chachma. It's the Meritika Chachma with the Gehataka. And Bez Hashem, it's hard to me, I'm not going to go one by one and say the reason I'm saying this tshuva now and that tshuva now. But we'll try to cover as much as we can in Kol Chelkei HaTorah. And then Bez Hashem also to see a little bit of Shkafasa, and Hagasa, his Hagas, and his Shkaf in the tshuva. So first, in Chedek Vav Simen Lamed Daled, he talks over there about the Shaila of Yichud. Over there he's talking about a Shaila, can a husband be mitzaref to a wife when she's going to the hospital? Now the Shaila over there was on Shabbos, and the Shaila was that the husband wanted to stay home. That was the way the shaila was being asked. The husband wanted to stay home, but the wife needed him to come because she had a problem with yichud. Because since it was in the middle of the night, and the cab driver was going to have to drive through places that clearly are dark places and whatnot, so now you have a problem of yichud. So Shevet HaLevi, the Shevet HaLevi, in the Tshuva writes that the emes is that yichud. This is Amizrayda Arayis, he brings from the Pnei Aryeh, that it's Taka something which is already in the game of the Gimel Chamuris. And therefore we know that Taka you have to give up your life for the Gimel Chamuris. So therefore, it's not that alone. If it would be a problem of Yichud, even on Shabbos or going to the hospital, technically, she would have to kivyachol give up her life. That's what should come out, because just like a person has to give up his life not to be on Arayis, so Yichud, which is Amizrayda Arayis, so she should have to give up her life. He writes over there that's not such a clear psak. The Pnei Aryeh is not so clear. But he writes like this with such chachma. He writes, but anyways, the husband should go. Because he writes like this. His lashon is. That's one reason he has to go. He says,
the kevin the wife and say of its right the guys nit khis ich at the love hachi kim du mani ya das goin yisrael of zay nish da fil be shabbes isa acha ita mit nea brachet va behala anyways she should go to the hospital together with her husband should go together because of pachad and behala. So Mela, you see that the Shevet HaLevi, which is married to Chochma, came from a different angle, came from a different side. How? To Dan the Shaila. You know why you should go? You should go to the hospital because Taker that she shouldn't have Pachad in Bahala. Another tshuva. The Shevet HaLevi writes like this. In Chelik Aleph, in Reish Gimel. He talks over here about the Yisr of Baila Be'ir. And he talks about that, I mentioned the other day, even over here in the Shir, we spoke about the Chzayish. He talks about the Shita of the Rashi and the Shita of Rambam. Rashi says, what's the heter of Baila Be'ir? What's the heter of Yichud of Baila Be'ir? So Rashi says that the heter of Yichud, Baila Be'ir, is that she's afraid that her husband's going to show up. So since she's afraid that her husband's going to show up, so Mamela, she has a pachad, she has nervous, and Mamela, we don't have to worry that there'll be a problem over here of Yichud, he's not going to try something, because Dilma Asi. But the Shevet HaLevi brings that the Lashon Rambam is Nishtas. The Lashon of the Rambam, is not Dilma Asi. He said, Lashon Rambam, Amos Baila Leah. The husband has, the wife has the Amos Baila. So the Shevet HaLevi says, Mashma, Ain't said Mishum Pacha Dilma Hash the Chazila. Not because she's afraid her husband's going to show up. Ella Kol Shubay Sayir, Pachta Leah. She lives with a Pachad, which we said the other day. The Shevet HaLevi writes, that same Chachma. He says, In the Kol Makoin, Yira, the Gamin is Zeloi Baru, Koka. The Vadai Inyan, Shema Yavoy Abal, Shaykh Bekola Noshim, Bekola Zmanim. Says that Indian of if your husband's gonna maybe show up, that avada doesn't matter. Nowadays, those days, but he says, but the fact that the husband, Aval, Amos Baila Le Balia Pacha.
Just leave that locked.
Aval Amos Baila Le Balia Pacha. It doesn't matter. Aval Amos Baila Leah, Baliya Pachad, Rak Mishum Marusa Shaleh. But the Amos Baal, the fact that you're afraid that your husband is in this shtar, the etzim fact that you're married, that's what gives you a pachad. He says, marry the Galashim. He says, Yitachin Lezed, Tzarek Mida Mashal Tzniyas Yisera Bachna, Umi Omar Dishayach Bidgayil Azmanim Bidgayilah Nashim Bidgayilah Matzavim. Says, who says that you have that nowadays? Chacham of Shevet HaLevi to say that that's not Xeris HaKasim, that a wife is afraid of a husband. Xeris HaKasim. A wife is afraid of a husband is something that's told in this man. If nowadays a woman lives in the world that unfortunately is a Muslim and women live and these musagim have crept even into our world, so maybe she doesn't have that same pachat. So it's up to Shevet HaLevi. There are many shaylas in Meiser and Tzedakah that I myself was zoichet to ask the Shevet HaLevi. I tried to bring Dafka from the Makaris, the ones that I asked that I found in the first explicit in a tshuva. One of them I found was M'chei the case in the Kuflam and Gimel. They asked the Shevet HaLevi about Schar Limud. Can a father pay for his son's learning in Torah? Can he pay in the yeshiva? Can he pay from the Maisim money? Can he pay from Maisim money? So the emphasis is that this Shaila, the stipler, the Chaim Kanievsky brings down from his father, his brother Norchus Rabbeinu, that his father used to pay for Maisim money. And they said that's the, it's the same, that you can pay at least Torah, the Torah thing, like you can pay for Maisim money. What they're teaching in Yeshiva is not just Chumash, and the Chiyav to teach Chumash is the Chiyav on the father to teach Chumash, Mashen Kein, Mishnah, Gemara, so there's no Chiyav necessarily, there's more of a mitzvah, but there's no Chiyav. The stipler said that since that's a mitzvah which is mutal on the father, chiyav nishchiyav, the mitzvah mutal on the father. So then, besides, that's something that you can say he has a chiyav to do. So the stipler held that you could use maisim money for that. Shevet HaLevi, when I asked him, and I see the Chubi, he said the same thing. He brings out that since the lashon in Shulchan Aruch is that Torah shebichsav is what the father is chayiv. Torah shebal peh yinat b'chayiv. However, it's only when it's loy dechika shaita. Excuse me, when it's dechika shaita. When it's difficult for him. When it's difficult for him, so then the father's not machlit. But I'm confident that the father, it's not difficult for him. So then, b'kai govna, he's machliyiv to pay for his son's learning Torah, even Mishnah Gemara, even beyond Mikra. So the Shevet HaLevi says, I desire, he thinks, that a person, when it comes to teaching Chumash, young age, etc., so then he could use Maisa money for his children's learning Torah, Chumash, and whatnot.
But he says, but Mishnah Gemara, it depends. If it's Techit Keshaita, if it's difficult for him, so then he could use Maisim. If it's not difficult for him, so then he feels that that's something that it's a mitzvah for him to do, and you can't use Maisim money to patter up that which you have the responsibility to do. It's interesting, when I asked him the Shaila, I asked him to feed this, to come out that a father that supports his son in learning, so should he use Maisim money or not? So if he this, it'll come out that it's better to not use Maisim money. You know, if anybody's able to, he's able to, but let's say he's able to. So it's better to not use Maisim. Because if he doesn't use Maisim money, so then he's getting the mitzvah of Limanetem Oysam Espinechem. If he uses Maisim money, he's getting the Kabbalah mitzvah. He's using his most Hashem the mitzvah. But if he doesn't use Maisim money, so then he's getting the mitzvah of Limanetem Oysam Espinechem. He's teaching Gemara, which is not. You can't say he's mechuyev, but when it's like chikashaita, if he's able to go and teach the child Torah with out going into maisim money, so then he has the merdik of madrega, not just of maisim, he has the madrega of the amount of the maisim as b'neichem. So Itaka said, he said, Einachanami, he says, it's better not to tell this to people though. It's better not to tell this. You go and start telling a person that he's supporting his son, he shouldn't use maisim money. So he says, you tell a person that maisim is zichem mutter when you're supporting your children. He says, Epshus can't sign even better if you can do it without Maisa. You have to know the Chachma how to say it. But the Chachma how to say it is, with Maisa, Mutta Gomer to support your children, it's the highest form of Tzedakah, no Shaila. Maybe Epshus is better if you have the ability to not use the Maisa money, then you get even another mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Mata Maisa Mesbenech. In Kuflamin Hei, Rav Osner, in Chilik Beis Kuflamin Hei, I asked him also, in the same Shaila I see was over there, was Agabe Kroivim. Everyone knows the Karv is Kroivim in the Yonim of Tzedakah. Person has a karev, the karev comes first. So the shayla I asked, which the way they came out the same shayla, if you have a karev, he needs money. Okay, he needs tzedakah. But he needs tzedakah, it's not such a big tzayach. He doesn't need for his basic needs. He needs something that would warrant tzedakah, but he's not in the same madrega as an ani. There's a certain ani, mamish, he needs money for a kidney, he needs money for this, he needs money for that. So what's that gara? When do we say a karev comes first, and when do we say a karev doesn't come first? So it's interesting. He went with this interesting to Mahalach. The emesis, Rechai Kinyevsky, when I sent him the Shiloh, he went and he said back that all of the Dine Kedima are only when everything is equal. When you have in front of you two people that need the money the same, you have a brother, a father, he needs the money as equal as an Ani, so then we say Karev, Karev, Kayyim, the Karev comes first. But Berega, somebody needs more, the Ani needs more, so then the Karev doesn't win. The karev comes after. The karev has basic needs, and the ani has much more basic needs. He's not able to live, and he's not able to live. So then the halacha would be that taka the ani comes first. That's one extreme. Rav Moshe, the exact opposite extreme. Rav Moshe the Tshuva, I think the Tshuva was in Kuf Mem Daled. Rav Moshe was the exact opposite extreme. Rav Moshe says that karev koidim always is first. If your father needs you, if your brother needs you, if your cousin needs you, a karev comes first, even though the ani needs you more. Even though the ani needs you more and his needs are much more basic, the exact opposite. Mamash, the exact opposite. Rav Osner went in the middle. So Shvil Azov, it's interesting to map. He said a father always comes first. A mama always comes first. He says children that are Saimech al Shulchancha, your children and your house, he said that goes into your own chiyev, so chayecha goyim. That's also you. Father comes first, the children that are Saimach al Shulchanu, they come first. Said afterward, it's a machlaikis. What a machlaikis? Do we say that your brother comes first, or do we say the ani who needs more comes first? So what should you do? So he said, you take your money and split it up. You have, let's say, you have $1,000, says 500 of that dollars you'll give to the karev, right? And the other 500 you give to the amir. Just on the chach. That's how Rav Osner went. Another shayla. Chelik bei simin kukhaf. What's an ani? Who's an ani nowadays? Who's an ani? Because the Maisa in the times of Chazal, all these Mishnayos and Peah, they talk about if he has enough 200 zuz, he has enough to live for the year, and whatnot. So what's an ani nowadays? The person who has... So the Torah says, Amar b'Kazak, it's that which they said, that if you have 200 zuz and you're able to live for the year, so then you're not called an ani. It's up the Torah. That's because you had Leket in those days, you had Shikha in those days, Peah. So you also had, you had food, even though he had money to live on. He had a basic amount that he wouldn't go under. Plus, he had leket shechel peyah. He had things that they were supporting and whatnot. But nowadays, this is the Torah writing. Nowadays, that we don't have leket shechel peyah. So then, it's not enough that you have 200 zuz. You're still called an ani. Still called an ani. So I asked Rav Osner, which I see in the Tshuva, they asked him the same thing. What if a person doesn't have a set amount in the bank? He doesn't have anything in the bank, but he has a set income. He has an income that comes in every single month, and Alpi Teva, unless he gets fired, everything goes well, says he called an Ani. Betzin has no money. He makes it month to month. But he makes it. Right? So Vazna said he's Nishkin Ani. Over there in the Truva, he says the same thing. Ramesha, that same Truva, Kuf Mem Dalit, he also says the same thing. He says Nishkin Ani. But Vazna is Mice of something. He's Mice. He says he's not an Ani. He said, but Legabe certain things he's called an Ani. Where did the Chachma? What does it mean Legabe certain things? So he's not an Ani. You can't give him stock up for his basic needs. He has an income that's coming in every month. Yeah? But he said, but let's say he has to make a chasim. Now he's an Ani. He says, let's say he has to, you know, he's trying to buy a dira, which is a very normal thing that a person should have, not have to waste money on rent and whatnot. So he said, now he's called an Ani, he's going to get that. He said, just not the Chachma. He's going to get that. He was called an Ani. In Chaylikei Kuflam and Beis, I also asked him a similar shayla. And when you go collecting, the person goes collecting, you know, for Purim, a lot of times the kids, they go collecting, and they put on a ganze spiel, and the woman is the one that answers the door, and they know, a woman opens the door, they're going to get more money, right? They'll put on a bigger spiel. But the mice of the paiskim and the Gemara seems to say it's a problem, because a woman is not allowed to give too much money if her husband doesn't know about it, that's a problem of stealing from the husband. It's a problem. So the Yad Avraham, on the side of Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Pesach Shuv Aviyah, it's in the Pesach Shuv Nebuchadnezzar. It says a concept of an isha that's noisy, even noisy, b'toch beis. You give a rishus to go and spend the money in the house and whatnot, so we don't have to go and clear every single penny, did you get rishus, did you not get rishus, so you're allowed to. The other form is meikel. So the Shevet HaLevi goes on this, and he says, you have to be very careful with fear interpretation. When you take something which is a large amount from a lady at the door, he says, look, if you take, you know, 10 shekel, the Masogit in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe in England you'll say 5 pounds. Okay, so now you can say I'm old, the husband, he doesn't mind me giving out a 5 pounds, maybe even 10 pounds, right? But if she's going to start giving out a 50 pound note, right? Is this going to be makbid? Is this going to be makbid? Her vazna held very stark that this is a problem. And he said, the Yad Avraham said, noisei benoisin bashuk. Maybe you could say that she has a right to go to the shuk and to buy things and whatnot, because obviously if you're putting her in charge of buying vegetables and putting her in charge of buying kids' clothing and whatever, so then you're not going to start saying this, yeah, this means this, that. So, but giving out matonas, he said that's something that people are machped on. The Gardner, when I asked the Shah to Chaim Kanievsky, he said, we're saying the Yad Avraham. Now I asked him, does that mean that she could give out 100 shekel? 100 shekel, Larry, it's all the Kibbutz of 100 shekel. Said, no, that's already showing that it's nish and matana gedoyla, doesn't matana maruba. Matana maruba, that already does nish. So you have to know if there's really a machlekes over here. That's another psak from the Chachma. What about, what could you knock off of Maisa? Another shayla I asked him. So here you have three shitas, and the Shevet HaLevi sets it down in Kufla Megibbel Dalet. Mamish beautiful. Dalet Kufla Megibbel. He sets it down, there are three shitas. There's one shita that holds, that beats him, taxes, we knock off. In other words, let me explain. Taxes, if a person has his taxes, we don't start cheshvening, did you make profit, until we knock out taxes. The Shevet HaLevi said there's one shita, which is the shita that came out of the kids of Shulchan Aruch and the Knesset HaGedolah, that we don't start clearing what is your income until we basically figure out what are your basic needs. Your taxes, we don't start counting yet. Then you have to buy, you know, food. And you have to buy basic needs. You have to have basics, just to live, right? You have to have a washing machine like we spoke about last night. And it says, after that, that's when you have to declare how much I have to give to Maisa. So if I make $100,000 a year, 100,000 pounds, so now it costs me 20,000 in 40,000 taxes. It costs me 40,000 in taxes, and then it costs me another 25,000 pounds for my basics. I have to buy a washing machine, I have to buy this, I have to buy that. And then I'm left with 35,000 spending money. So there's a sheet out there that holds, you only have to give $3,500 ma'isa. 3,500 pounds ma'isa. Because that's when we start ma'isa. Then there's another extreme sheet, which is from Moshe. Moshe is the Chayim Levracha, the other extreme. Moshe goes in Chelik, I didn't write wherever Moshe is. Where Moshe is Mechalik, in different, he says, Moshe is not better about the Mishnah. That about the Mishnah. We zikr don't include, that's kihayim chayenu, that's your expenses. That's your problem. Your expenses are your problem. Your expenses are your problem. And about the, if you make 100,000 pounds, so Moshe says, merdik chiddush. He says, taxes on the income. So that about that we can't say you made an income to go and start clearing if you have to take mice. You didn't make an income. So you made some. So they take off, let's say, 20,000 for income. Now you're left with 80,000. On that 80,000, so you have your living expenses and you have your head tax. Sakta Rav Moshe married the Kachumra. Rav Moshe says, but now you have to give Meiser on the whole 80,000. Because that's called you made 80,000. You have an income of 80,000. Now they're taking 10,000 for you for your head, and they're taking 10,000 for your ears, and they're taking 10,000 for the washing machine. And then, but that's called the money you made. Rav Asna, again, he goes in the Shil Azov, he goes somewhere in the middle, which I think is the Mekubal Dika Mahalach. Rav Asna says, no, all taxes is not called you made money. Paying head taxes, paying the tax on the house, paying on the tax, especially tax on the income. So again, they took away 40,000 pounds. Now, you made 60,000 pounds. Oh, the washing machine, that's your problem now. About that, you have to take tax, you have to take meiser on the 60,000. It goes in the middle sheet, I think that's the mekubal. I'll tell you one more shayla in tzedakah. The emesis, we're going over time. I want to make sure we get to everything today. We'll go to Orach Chaim. In Orach Chaim, so there's interesting, a future interest shant to shaylas. In Orach Chaim, Yud Dalet, Rav Moshe has a shayla, Shev Dalek has a shayla about a Rosh Min Bacher. A Russian bacher that came from Russia. Now, in those days, if you were a righty, you're allowed to live in Russia. If you're a lefty, so then they gave you all types of tsars. So what they do? So at a young age, they would take a bacher, a fellow, and they would take his hand and they would tie up his left hand, and they would force him to write with his right hand. That was the mitzvah in those days. In Russia, that was the mitzvah. So this fellow came to Eretz Yisrael. And he told Rav Asna like this: everything he does with his left hand, that's his strong hand. He writes Russian with his right hand, because they forced him to write with his right hand. He writes Lashon Kodesh, writes Hebrew, with his left hand. Because once he got out of Russia, he started writing, so he was writing with his left hand. So he writes, it says like this: I write really, if you ask me Russian, I can't write with my right hand. I could write with my left hand Russian. Right? And I write Lashon Kodesh only with my left hand. And my strong hand is my left hand. Okay? When I heard this shayla, I got the shayla myself, a similar type of shayla. I heard the shayla, and when I gave the psak, I gave him a psak. Obviously, the shayla is, where does he put tefillin? Which hand does he put on tefillin? So I'll tell you a story. Rav Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha, Scheinberg said once, everyone knows he was called Lefty Scheinberg, because he used to throw the baseball with the left hand. So somebody once came in, and he sees Rav Scheinberg was wearing tefillin all day, and he sees that Rav Scheinberg is wearing tefillin on his left hand, which means that he was a righty. So he asked him, don't they call you Lefty Scheinberg? Say, what's going on over here? So he told him, no, it's not the hand that you pitch the curveball. It's the hand that you write the Chedushei Torah with that's Kaveya. Huh? Which Rav Scheinberg was really saying apart. He was saying that the right hand in halacha, what's called a righty, is if he writes with the right hand, then he's called a righty, and that's it. It's not totally in your strength hand. That's what he was saying. So here I said, look, over here you have the emesis darz, that's a poiskim like that. That's the Ramat Shita, that's the Shulchan Aruch Shita, that's the Shabura really goes like that. But the Gain and Rav Moshe and the Aruch HaShulchan, they don't go like that. They go, it's all totally in the hand of strength, which makes this shayla a very serious shayla. But here I looked at the shayla and I say, look, on the one hand, you have his strong hand is his left hand. Number two, he writes, technically, Lashon HaKodesh, he writes with his left hand. Russian, he could write with his left hand. Boom, they forced him, and he also is able to write with his right hand. And it's true, there are certain things he writes with his right hand. So I would have thought this year, this is what I would have thought, you make him a lefty. That's what I would have thought. He added it all together. Vosner says, no, he's a righty. He says, no, he's a righty. It just happened. He says, first of all, he writes with his right hand. His mama Lashon, Lashon of Russian, he writes with the right hand. He says he could write Hebrew with his right hand, but then he adds something. He says, but oh, the Mekubalim always told you should make everybody a righty. And you see how he was Metzarif over here? He wanted to make him a righty. He says, look, he's able to write with his right hand. He writes Russian with his right hand. And the Mekubalim say, even the lefties we should make into righties. So if I say, in this case over here, he's a righty. Sorry, the cups, the hair. In Tesvav, he writes like this, the next tshuva. In Tesvav, he writes, a yid that wore Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And then he found out that his Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin were treif. Rav Moshe, Bemis, interesting, he has the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote him a tshuva, a shayla to Rav Moshe, Zichron Levracha, how come you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? So Rav Moshe writes back, he says, look, the emes is that I don't wear Rabbeinu Tam because I can't find a cipher that can write it for proper kashrus. Whatnot. It's a famous story. The Babcher Rebbe sent him a pair of Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But you see that there was a problem in those days with finding Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin that were written properly to kashrus. This is a problem. So they wrote Shabbat Levi, a shayla. He was wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin for years, and now he sees that they checked it and they found in their schnitzel and herring and whatever. Because there was nothing kosher in these tefillin. So he wants to know, he wants to stop his anhaga of wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. Because anyways he never wore, so you can't say he did the mimic. Anyways he felt it was a shter. Anyways, and now he sees he never did it. So maybe he doesn't have to be noyig like this because he was never noyig. Listen to the chacham of the Shevet Halevi. He says, no, you were noyig wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. I was hasty, he wore schnitzel. He didn't wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. He wasn't wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So he says, no, because you're a chleishet lasayis mitzvah. Your chayshiv lasayis mitzvah, the nenes, loyos to the yodai, that ki'ilu asar. So your kabbalas han hagas han neder, you did. You were makabal and neder, you did your neder. You did what you could, and you get scarred for that. So maybe you did wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. 3 times, 10 times, 1,000 times you wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. I said, this is you have to go back to the chacham. In the next tshuva, very interesting, this one is mamash beautiful. Rav Shlomo Talevi, I asked Rav Yashiv about getting black on black tefillin. This is becoming more popular nowadays, black on both sides. The emes is, I hold this the best azach. Because you get black on black, you never have to worry, number one, that they turn around. Number two, you never have to worry that it's going to peel. Because they do a process that they take the tefillin, they dip it in the ink, and it goes all the way through. So even if it peels, your tefillin is still black. You never have to worry about your tefillin for the rest of your life. I asked Rav Yashiv, so he told me that I shouldn't get myself black on black. He says, people look at you, and then they're going to think you're mechuyev to get black on black. And so I said, but my son, when I made a bar mitzvah, says, him you can get black on black. That's what happened the day after the bar mitzvah, the day after you put on tefillin. The first time everybody came to me, well, you have to have black on black. And everybody came over, so you have to have black on black, so you see the nebuah. But in this tshuva, he tackles the shayla in Tes Zayin. He writes like this, Yedidi, it's a very small tshuva, Yedidi, again, over here on vacation, he says, you bring down from Arizal, you bring down from Radbaz, you bring down the Shainas HaRambam, that you have to have black on black, and it's a wonderful thing. He says, Yedidi, hinei akol emes nochen, gam rabbe seina, v'seina lehenem kol zeh. The great rabbis from the previous diaries, they knew this too. Ukvar v'esi gam ani anid varev Radbaz, aval kebet shebal shulchan arach, v'esi yisif ramad, ake moishu levush, v'koil aboi machreim loike, afilu lehidr ba'alma. They never did this. The kasher heyed Radbaz b'yatzmar, that they don't make black on both sides. The ein anu naigin kein. Okay, na yoshi gamar Radbaz. The Radbaz only said it for a hider. He said, Mary the Galashin here. Michlal, Mary the. Michlal, the Gedoyli Yisrael, poitzkadars, lechashit lahanik afilu the noi. Even for noi, they weren't chashish to make black on black. And kein is muhach and the Balatanya, who bevada they had a reason. And I don't know the reason. I'm talking about the Shevet Levi, but I don't care. It was a davar kal, and they didn't do it. Lama lam neshanas bnei halacha afal pi shekol mashe. Even whatever you write is nochen emes. Mikol makom stimus apayskim yosim loy nagukei. So he writes like this. He says, it doesn't even say you get a bracha. It doesn't even say you get a bracha if you do it. Aval lahanik derech hayra lo reizi tzar. So it's not that. The hanik l'Yisrael ki bnei neviim. Leave them alone. Why they're not putting on black is a good shayla. But the mice they don't. And then they say you also don't. Very big chacham. Now, the Gabi talking during davening. It's a very famous shayla. It says here, somebody talks in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. You can embarrass him. You scream at him. You're goyer goy. See from the Noyim Midoysav, he writes, he has a tshuva over here in our Chaim Simin Yugimel. Says, look, Hayim Yesh Lidoy came. Should you embarrass the guy in public? He's talking in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. I once asked this Shkram Chaim Kinyevsky, how can you embarrass somebody in public? How can you go embarrass him? He's talking to Chazaras HaShatz. So Chaim said like this. I asked him in Lashon. He wrote back, Havik is Shoyver Beis HaMedrash. I'll explain this. The Tosfos Yontif. Everyone knows he was manig of Agantz Nusach because he held that the reason for Tachtatat was Nesgal and Echolim was because they came and they spoke during davening. And the Mela, that's why it came this terrible tzaras because people spoke in davening, which was what was Shoyver the Beis Medrashim, which destroyed the Beis Medrash. Somebody Chalidah walks into this Kodesh HaKadosh and takes a hammer and starts smashing the Arna Kodesh. A from guy with a yarmulke and a bar, you're going to go over him and say, that's somebody you know. He said, that's a pastor. Why are you breaking the base measure? Maybe we could talk about this. He says, no, I hear what you say. He goes over to the bima, starts smashing the bima. Maybe we can talk about this. What would happen? We take the seat out. Maybe Ula, he'd be left with one finger and a toe. Right? You're going to be malbim, the rabbim, and those. It's a kasha on the mice. I don't know the answer to the kasha. It's a kasha. It's not the worst kasha. So if I say it's a person who's talking during davening, somebody who sees the sensitivity of that, he sees somebody who's smashing up the base medrash. He's going to destroy this base medrash. That's what Chaim says. But the Shevet Halevi, the thought of embarrassing the Yid, he says, maybe and katzul limchais by ravera says, but the din is like the regular din in Shulchan Aruch. Says first you have to go over to him quietly the first time. You go over to him, you say, Rabbi, over here we don't talk during davening. And then you go over him, sheni, shlishi, tzarch lechicha, bein el atzma, yedaber benachas. You tell him the gevaldik and milas of people that don't talk during the base medrash, etc. You don't have to tell him what the prima gadim says, that we should take a gap by giving him a stick. Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. Says, then afterward, if you see it's not working, says, that's when it means goyrim by your malbim barabim. See, the go over and goyrim barabim and the malbim barabim, Shem Levi couldn't be cycled such a thing. Couldn't be cycled so. He had to explain it. In Chelik Yud, Simites Vav, it's become very popular in our door. People say, Chadushim, Chadush the Gazach, right? And he likes to say it, and it brings on to him a meritic COVID. See, he's Chadush something. He was Mechadish, the Shev Galevi, and Chelik Yud, and Tezvav, that bad Simapi Alachat should be mutter to do the Krichas and to tie the knots of tzitzis in the bathroom. You know, people are always looking for what to do. They want to know what literature, yeah, it does, and yeah. So he writes, Abitin, it should be mutter. It should be mutter. He has a whole Cheshbon over there that it's not something that, as long as the Lishma was before, and whatever, it should be mutter. He writes, but don't do things like that. There's Lashon over there. But don't do things like that. Not everything that's mutter, you do. Not everything that's mutter is still things should be done by Kedusha, should be done by Taira. In Chelik Tes Yud Tes, he talks about Negunim that are, that the certain Chazonim use certain Negunim when they daven and whatnot. And the Negunim that are clearly from the Goyim. Things that, now I don't think he means, everyone knows that a lot of the Negunim, the Niggins, came from the Goyim. But those things either different Rebbes were matching them, or they're not Nigunim that by us are Meir any thought at all. Fakir, they're Meir in us, the Baruch Kel Elyon, they're Meir in us, the different Zmiris and whatnot. But everyone knows that there are certain Nigunim that nowadays when he hears that Nigun, he knows that this guy should make the next door is playing that same Nigun. So he writes like this, Poshit me'oi chazan me'shtamshin b'nigunim goyim, osim. Is that she'shameyosam, chayiv lifrei sh'melech, a person who listens to it, he has to be Poyer sh'melech as a Kodesh. Can't be a chazan such a person. It's Poshit me'oi. In Chelik Hei, Simon Yates, he writes that he doesn't like this, that he sees nowadays, that anytime you have a bocher, and you have a younger man, someone who's married, so they tell the bocher, Gatesy, go to the Amid and Davin. Since it's in Firush Shulchan Aruch, in Simon and Gimel, and Sikot and Yates and Bishabruah, what the halacha is that if you have a person who's married, you have a bocher, so then the person that should daven for the Amid is, of course, the Shaitz of the Pizim Yosim, it's a different story, one, but he says, Avada, it's better to have a person who's married, go up for the Amid. He says he knows that nowadays they're not so machmir on this, except in Yom Tovim and Yom Nevoah. He says, but you can't be mevatel at the Kana Legamri. That's what he writes. He says, you can't be mevatel at the Kana Legamri. He says, unless it's a yeshiva, a bachrim, they're all bachrim, what are you going to do? Or he says, unless the bachrim is a mufla be your shemayim and whatnot. But the concept, he didn't want to be mevatel at the Kana Legamri. In Chelik Vav, Simita Zayin, he says, Marit Kachachma, I like saying it over. It's not really so time related right now, but it's a Gavali Kachachma. He says over there, when you say Marit Atal and you mess up, let's say you're in the winter time. And you say, I'm sorry, you're in the summertime now. It's not so negay now because you're already used to it. But you say, Moir Atal. So now, what happens? The first day, the first 5 days. So you say, Mashi Baruch and Moir Atagash. Mashi Baruch and Moir Atagash. And then you chop yourself and you say, oh, Moir Atal. So he says, Moir Atagash. He says, you didn't gain anything. You have to go back to the beginning of Mechal Kel Chayim. Why? In the beginning of Chayim Mason, the Bracha. Because look what you just said. Not to keep alone Hashem. Moir Atal, Mashi Baruch, Moir Atagash, Moir Atal. All of them Hashem does. So when you said the word Mayur Atal, you didn't uproot the words Mashi Baruch Mayur Nageshem. You said, Erez the Mashi Baruch, Erez the Mayur Nageshem, Erez the Mayur Atal. So he said, the only way to uproot it is now you got to go back to the beginning of the bracha. I think it's a Gevaldik Chachma. I think the Velt doesn't do this. I think the Velt doesn't do it. Us? Yeah, but over here it's not going to work. That's the time of the Sheva Leiter. Here it's not going to work. Because here, Tashke Dei Dibur of uprooting is not going to work. Over here, he's trying to say that you didn't uproot. He said, Mashi Baruch, Mayur Nagash, Mayur Natal, Zayit Git. Not a stira. If you take Talamat to the Bracha, it'll be the same thing. It'll be the same thing. He'll say, the same Talamat to the Bracha, the same Bracha, Mer Bracha. For us, then the Mir Lacha Taka brings and says, yeah, he was the one that said it over there. Aleh Bechayr says, Shaka Taim. Hilchas Kashrus. I mentioned the kids and different things that come out. Actually, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Shevet Alevi is the Mchelik. Tess, Mem Dalit, Shevet Levi writes that even though I hold Mezoinus rolls, maybe you could be Seimach on the Marsham, but he says, but the way they make the Mezoinus rolls nowadays, that they use tarkiz. A tarkiz in English is a concentrate. They use a concentrate. When they put the juice in, They put in, they don't put in a juice which is 100% orange juice, 100%. They put in a concentrate, which means they're putting in 70% water, technically, and 20%. So he says, no, that I was never Meikala. So everyone knows that the Sheva Levi maybe had a tzad that he was Meikala Mizaynus rolls, but they don't know that the Sheva Levi held that the Mizaynus rolls that they make nowadays are much less than harvest. Interesting. And actually, another thing that is not so known in Hilchos Brachos, a lot of this, in Eretz Yisrael, is very common. A lot of the, certainly the lettuce, a lot of the green vegetables that we have are hydroponically grown in Eretz Yisrael, especially in the Shemitah. It's hard to go into these things now, but it's very, very common. The pashtis of the halacha, the chayodim would say on these things, you make a shahakol. A shahakol is not grown from the ground. It's like, the veld doesn't do this. The veld makes a dhamma. In Aleph, Reish Hei, the Chevron Levi has a tshuva where he's not stick that minute. And he says, no, it's a min adama, and it's not like a mushroom that the bracha is a shakal, and he's not stick the minig, and he says he's not going to make adama. And the emphasis is that he's a minority view, but you see, with that koyach, the whole veld does like him. The ganze veld makes adama. That's the Shevet Alevi. In Basa B'chalav, in Beis Lamed Hei, Shevet Alevi writes that the makim chayli, he can be mako between meat and milk. He's a sick person, he just had meat. And he's not 6 hours, not 1 hour, even within an hour. But he's sick and he needs milk for whatever it is. It could be a nursing lady, it could be a mubaris, it could be one of the different reasons why somebody's sick and needs to have milk within an hour, Rabbi said. Within an hour. He says, as long as you benched, you made a shpalt, the bracha chayna, as long as you washed out your mouth and you waited, even if you didn't wait, if you're a makim chayli, he's meikel. Now there's a chiddush here, because Mzoytim is also meikel. But the Shevet Levi is the first one that took the chrayis of saying that you can be meikel even within an hour. Even within an hour, this is something that if it's it has to be a chayli, it has to be somebody a mubaris sometimes, a menekes, that she doesn't have milk, and she needs milk, and whatnot. Shevet Levi was meikel. Shevet Levi was very machmer in that same tshuva, lamed hei, in Beis lamed hei, on hard cheese. Hard cheese, that my minig l'mashal is on hard cheese. If it's hard cheese, you wait 6 hours. The minig ashkenazim is if it's hard cheese, you wait 6 hours. But not all cheese is hard. And the Shevet Levi goes over there with a merdik chiddush. He says if they have cheeses nowadays that they can make in 6 minutes, but in the times of Chazal it would have taken them 6 months to make, so that cheese is called hard cheese, you have to wait 6 hours. You know what the nafkamina of that is? Pizza. Shevet Levi held, and on pizza you have to wait 6 hours. Shevet Levi. I said the minig of, in the old minig in England was not like that. The minig in, now it's getting popular. Us. Processed cheese is a little bit different. That's already not going to be mistama, that's different. But I'm talking more about the yellow cheeses. The yellow cheeses that they sell, according to Shevet Levi, you have to wait 6 hours. The emesis, this is the psak of most of the poiskim in Eretz Yisrael. In America, the poiskim say it's not like that. Only maybe on a parmesan and whatnot. But in England, I don't know. You're somewhere in the middle. Maybe 3 hours, maybe like the Yekis. In Hilchos Shabbos, in Chela Merida Ketuba, in Chela Ches, you see the Shevet Alevi had no pachad. He said things that were mechudish. In Chela Ches and in Tzamech Aleph, he writes over there, if you take a zipper and you zipper it, let's say it's, for example, a zipper lining inside a coat, Shevet Alevi held that's toifer. That's called toifer. If you put your zipper lining into a coat or you take it out, it's been in there for a very long time, it's been there for a month, 6 months, whatnot, that's toifer. Rav Moshe has a chiddush where he clearly would argue on this, because Rav Moshe writes that the only thing that's called toifer is when the opposite malacha would be kermeo. No one would look at me opening up the zipper as ripping the coat. So according to Rav Moshe's chiddush, it would come out that if Adam, that you could put your lining in even for 6 months if it's a zipper, but the Shevet Levi argues, it's a shayla deraisa. According to Shevet Levi, it's a shayla toifer. A very interesting tshuva in Chelek Hesim in Lamed Aleph. He talks about diapers. He talks about opening up the diapers from the tear. I'm not talking about the Velcro ones. I'm talking about the sticker ones. And he's basically Meikel. He's basically Meikel. He says because it's meant to be opened and it's not a ticket. It's a Teufel Lisman. He says you can basically open up those caps on Shabbos. Basically, everyone knows what I'm talking about. On the diapers, on the nappies, you can open up the tabs. He says you can open, but he writes the Merdik Zach. He says, but at the end, he was staying in a house, and he saw on Erev Shabbos that there was a certain lady, and she was opening up all the diapers before Shabbos, and then, opening and closing, so there'll be a Tfilas Man, and I'm a Shabbeach her Ma'oi. He writes it, the Jew is a Shabbeach her Ma'oi, even though I make a lot of it, but Shabbos, Ilcha Shabbos, a good Zach, the crack pot, a Shevet Alevi held stark, not like Shleim Zalman, Sechern Levrach. He held that the crackpot is not a problem about tamana. If you do know what I'm talking about, good. If you don't know, well, the Shevet Levi is meikel. But the Shevet Levi held that it's no problem about tamana b'chlal. If you're going to take it out and put it back, you need a blech. Fine, you need to put it inside, silver foil, something, you have to put it in there, something. But everyone knows that there's some Zaman Zichron the Brazil before his Nifter, held that you have to take this prakpat and you have to put inside some type of silver balls or something and lift it up off the, because the Pramal Atmana. He writes in that Shuvah, he says, Ein Laharish Shaylamas Bishil Zeh. You don't have to be marish the world for this, and they don't have to be Majmar this, and they try to shame the lady. Chomer Medina, the Velt doesn't realize, but there's a lot, we have to have a lot of Akar Satay to the shame of the lady. The Shevet HaLevi, in Chedek Gimel, in Vav, in Heilam, in Beis, he says, the Lashon in Shulchan Aruch is that nowadays, the Chayra, there's no Chomer Medina. The Lashon in Shulchan Aruch, and I think it was in Reishai Beis Yiftes, Lashon is that, B'makim She'ein Ayayin Matzim, when there's a place where wine isn't found, then you could use Chomer Medina. What's Chomer Medina? Ayin Shalom. Beer, this, that, whatever. But where is there Chomer Medina? Like in their days, where there's no wine, maybe wine is expensive, whatever. So when there's no wine, then you can use Chomer Medina. Shevet HaLevi says, if it's like the Chomer should come out, there are prices like this. Nowadays, wine is everywhere. Avada, you can get wine that's cheap, and Avada, so the Chomer, and there are prices like this, there's no more Chomer Medina. It's not coming in. So Shevet HaLevi goes on in a very, very sadistic tshuva and explains, no, that's not, Avada, if you have a drink, that the tzura, that we don't drink wine in every meal, and that it's only in their times when they would drink wine in every meal, so then Avada, that was the drink. And if the town didn't have wine, so then you had to have a different drink that they drank. But by us, that we don't drink wine in every meal, so then you could still have the concept of Chomer Medina. It's a chiddush, but it's all based on the Shevet HaLevi. We're not the Shevet HaLevi, we don't have it. In Chesh Mishpat, Shevet HaLevi, I saw Merdek HaChiddush from the Shevet HaLevi. He says, everyone wants to know the Shalah, every Bachar asks is. You have find things left in the dormitories, left in yeshivas, left in shuls. And they want to know, it's Aveda, it's Nishna Aveda. So Shevet HaLevi in that Shuvah writes over there in Chelek Hei, Simen Reish Ches, he writes, they should put up a sign that anybody that comes into this Makim, he knows, he comes in Al Astig Abayim, and if he leaves his things here, everybody should know, and they should put up signs, they should do this, that's for sure. Since if they didn't, maybe still, you don't have to go and do a Shavas Aveda on these items if they've been there for a very long time. He says, why? He says, maybe it's Aveda Midas. Shasantasar. He says, because hey, what's the Das? I guess the Das is you came in there and you know that this is what shuls do in general. So, great, it's a chiddush. The Gantzvelt always asks, what's halacha? So, I'll be Messiah with some of the, I guess, Hashkofa of the Shevet HaLevi. The Hashkofa of Shevet HaLevi. In Dalid, Nun Zayin, in Beis Nun Zayin, he says like this, HaToyra Nachla Kol Echad VeEchad. Toyra is the Nachla of everyone. Ve'ein tali mubal kishrun alai. That's the Ashkof of Shevet HaLevi. The Torah is everyone's nachla. Doesn't matter if he's a bal kishrun. He writes that the ikar limud in that shul, he writes over there, the ikar limud is alibud ilchasa, alibud alacha. The person has a little bit of time. He should try to make time to learn sugyas alibud ilchasa. He writes he should try to do a behein. In vav aleph, he writes like this: the ikar Torah should be belayla. He brings a zayir. There's no Torah like Torah belayla. Just after Shevet HaLevi, Ches Reish Zayin says Kol Gedolei Yisrael were baki in Tanakh. Just after Shevet HaLevi, Kol Gedolei Yisrael, a sign of a Gedolei Yisrael. You go over to the next time if it's a Gedolei Yisrael. Ask him what was going on in Ezra Perak Yud Zayin. If he answers you, then there's no Ezra Perak Yud Zayin. Rabbi Zayin. And Ches Reish Yud, he says the Gedolei importance of Ksivas Chedushei Torah. Talks about the importance of writing Torah. Wait, so he wasn't talking that just to a younger man in the Baal Mechaber Sefer. He's talking to somebody who's learned that as a daf Gemara, feel that they owe me, they learn that Nazir, and he writes on the side of his Gemara, he writes that it's like a chiddush that he had in the understanding of a Rashi. Ashrei Misha Baal Mechan, the Marsha says, write down Chiddush et Torah. They're going to ask you for them up there, Rabbi Yisrael. There's no games. Ches, Tes Mem Gimel. He writes, the Iker in Chazara had the Iker to remember Torah. He says, Chazara is Chazara, that's the Iker. But anyway, it's a Merdek Gazah. You have to Chazar till it's Nitvas Belev and Moyach. He writes, it has to be Nitvas in both your heart and in your brain. Seichel, in your mind, has to be a part of your body. It has to be in your lave. You have to Chazar until it's a part of your lave. That's the key, Rabbi Isa. That's the key. And he writes, but of course, that Avada, he writes, that goes without saying. Also, in Hate Tetzvah, he writes this. Also, based on Zion, it says, "And daven lemi shachachma shalom v'zeha ikar." The ikar is the daven to the one that it says chachma. That's the Gemara Nida. In Hey Tesvav, he writes that a person who wants to remember Torah, he should be zayir in Tfilas Ezra. And over here he says, "Baruch Menusa." And here he gives a remez. He says, "Yiras Hashem Torah." if your Yiras Hashem is Tahira, I met this La'at. So then it'll last forever. Right? The Galashim. In Tes Chav, he writes, Avodas Hashem Besimcha and Zrizis, that's the Iker in Avodas Hashem. Besimcha and Zrizis, and he writes these words, Chas V'Shalim Lehepich, Ha'atzlanis, Va'atzvis, to be Isaac and Avodas Hashem, and Atzlanis and Atzvis, Heim Hasoinim Hagdoilim La'Avodas Hashem. That's the Soinim of Avodas Hashem. You have to go, when you walk into a basement, I always tell Bachar, Yeshiva, I give a Shir, Tarot, Mashal. There's a lot of stairs that you got to get up. You have to, from breakfast all the way down, you have to walk up six floors. It's about 15 flights of stairs you have to walk up. I tell them, those last five stairs, you run into the base medrash. It's a whole different experience. A man walks into the base medrash, he goes, Fashlufindik. Fashlufindik, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for Fashlufindik, because you're coming anyways. Fashlufindik, there's no excuse. Come into a base medrash, come in Azeh. That's the sign of Avodas Hashem. In Zayin Yudalit, he says, somebody asked him, he's going to skip around the Pesukah de Zimra, so he has more time to learn. He says, Yom Gamanchik, Zman Toira Luchud, Zman Tvila Luchud. You never skip davening for Toira. Don't stay up too late if you're going to have to skip in the morning Pesukah de Zimra. Don't learn if you're going to have to skip around. Zman Toira Luchud, Zman Tvila Luchud. In Chelek Yud, Simikov Samech. He talks about America, he says the Keshayla, which is very gay in our time. You get different Rishonim that were Niskala, and there's a lot of Tshuva Svarim, but their Malach is, they just back and back in mounts of Rishonim and Achrenim they can find of Nai Svarim. He says, if you know my Das and the Das of the Chazanish, is that we're not Misyachas to these new Rishonim and Achrenim. We're not Misyachas if the Shulchan Aruch didn't Paskin like that, and the Ramad didn't Paskin like that, and the Mishnah Berurah and Mishnah Zeke Paskin. So, if you need to know in a Shasat Chag situation, he brings from Yerdei and the Shach and some of the Membeis and Siv Kav and Chav, that there could be times that we're Saimach on it. But we're not Messiachis, this Rishoyim Achroinim, for some Zinish Gehat Bechlal. We're not Messiachis. He writes about Minig. Minig Avoseinu in Gimel, in Zayin Yigimel. Minig Avoseinu Heime Ikrim Gedoilim Shal Shoymei Torah U Mitzvahs Vasher HaMachzik Ben. That's the Ikr. The Ikr is Minig Yisrael. Yet he writes interesting thing. He says, look, but if a person wasn't knowing his father's minig after his bar mitzvah, it's not so simple, it's binding. But he writes, but an Ashkenazi and Svardi, that's binding, mamish. A person who's an Ashkenazi and a Svardi, it doesn't matter, you, the day after your bar mitzvah, you say, okay, today I want to be an Ashkenazi, and today I want to be a Svardi. He says, no, that's binding, mamish. So interesting. I'll end with two more. He says, in Kufchav, in Yud Kufchav, he says, to be Seimich on B'dievet, in Kashrus, interesting thing. What the Paisim were saying, he said, that's all for a Yachid. But a Kashrus organization has no right to do that, he writes. A Kashrus organization is a klal. A lot of times people say different Lashonis, like, yeah, the Kashrus organization, well, everyone knows they're saying Mechan B'dievet. He writes, they have no right to do that. Because something B'dievet was for a Yachid. But for a klal, no, klal has to be, it's a different standard. Also, Choshen Mishpat, they're expecting to buy a proper food. He writes, in Chesreish Tess, he says, learning diktuk of Lashon HaKodesh, he says, that's Vadai Limud HaTorah. Vadai Kim of Limud HaTorah. Yet, in Yud Reish Lamedayin, he says, Vadai, it's very important to learn in Yiddish. Vadai, it's very important to learn in Yiddish. It's Mavgulos from the street, etc. This is Nashkof for the Sheva Levi. So, Abim Messiah, I'll tell you one story about the Sheva Levi. The Sheva Levi, I was zeichet to see the Sheva Levi in his base medrash, like I mentioned before. Shev Levi was minded many talmidim. You should see who was there. It's unbelievable. Paiskim that would come to Shev Levi, and all talmidim to Shev Levi. Tons of times, minded talmidim harder. Over there, I used to see it every single shacharis, and I would go and I was zeichel shalom. He would cry bitter cherin during Avraham every single time. Avzaylum, when he would daven every single time, he would say Avraham Avzaylum. He would cry tears. I saw it with my own eyes, tears every time. Say he that was zeichel to kala tarikula. Avzaylum, Avzayra. And so I asked his son, what should I end with? What should I tell them about the Sheva Levi? So he said, tell them why he was zoichet to his Arichas Yom. Why was he zoichet to such Arichas Yom? He said, two reasons. He was zoichet to his Arichas Yom. I wrote it down, the Lashon that he said to me, he said in Hebrew. He says, one was b'shteitzel, because kihen chayeinu, v'oirich yameinu, because his whole life was Torah. Then he said to me, Mar de Gazach. He said, and another reason is, Loidiber Sara Me'oilam al Odam Achem. He never spoke bad ever about someone else. But listen to this Lashon, this is more important to me. He says, Ubechlal, Loihaya Diburai al Azulas. That wasn't his deeper Bechlal. He never spoke about other people Bechlal. He never spoke bad about. That wasn't the part of his Medubber, it wasn't his Shrach Bechlal. Me'la, Mia Isha Chafetz Chai.
great man, great man. Shai Zichro Bach.
Amen.